The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Friday, February 10th. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio wherever you listen to podcasts. Drop us a rating or a comment or review if you can. We always appreciate your feedback. Today's show, we're going to do something a little different. I have so many questions that have been sent to the Big Blue View mailbag, which you can reach by simply emailing bigblueview@gmail.com if you have a question that you would like answered. So many questions have come in recent weeks that the mailbag is overrun, and I just don't have the ability to answer every question in our weekly Saturday mailbag. So what I'm going to do here today is I'm going to answer some questions that I won't be able to get to for our Saturday mailbag on bigblueview.com. So we'll go through some reader questions here. We'll answer those. I will also play for you an interview that I did with SMU offensive lineman Jalen Thomas, a young man who is hoping that a late season shoulder injury that he suffered won't derail his opportunity to get a chance to make an NFL roster in the fall. That interview will come up in a few minutes, but first let's get to some of our questions. Our first question comes from a reader slash listener who wants to know if the Giants could look to fill their need for a number one wide receiver this offseason by trading for T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals, and what a trade for Higgins might actually end up looking like. And my answer to that question is absolutely this is an avenue that the Giants could pursue. Higgins, of course, a terrific young player for the Cincinnati Bengals, has 215 catches in three seasons, 2 years of more than 1,000 receiving yards. Higgins at this point, a second-round pick by the Bengals in 2020. Higgins is still just 24 years of age, entering the final season of his contract with the Bengals in 2023. If Cincinnati decides that they're not going to be able to afford Higgins with guys like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on the roster, Joe Mixon on the roster, all of those folks, you know, who are going to be commanding big salaries here fairly soon. If the Bengals were to decide that they wanted to move on from Higgins, absolutely the New York Giants should be a team investigating the price tag, trying to see if they could bring Higgins to New York. He's exactly the kind of receiver, in my view, that the Giants need. 6'4", 215 pounds, established as a top player in the league. Obviously is really the number two receiver in Cincinnati behind Ja'Marr Chase, has the ability to be a number one wide receiver, would give Daniel Jones a big target type of downfield threat, a guy that can make plays on contested catches, type of wide receiver they don't have, type of talent they don't have on the outside in the wide receiver core. Now, the price tag, let's be realistic. The Philadelphia Eagles got A.J. Brown for a first and third round draft pick. I think that the price for T. Higgins is probably at least that much, perhaps more, because if the Bengals were to put Higgins on the market, there would be a number of NFL teams bidding on Higgins' services, trying to get Higgins from the Bengals. So the price tag would likely be driven up. So you're looking at committing at least a first-round pick, at least a third-round pick, and probably more to get T. Higgins. I'm not sure that that is a route that GM Joe Shane would want to take. But yes, it's absolutely possible. Yes, Higgins would look really, really good catching passes from Daniel Jones. He would massively upgrade the Giants' receiving core. So yes, you know, it would be wonderful to see him playing for the Giants. I just don't know that it's realistic that the Giants would be willing to pay the price tag that it would require. Our next question comes from Chris Chianese, who wants to know, if the Giants move on from Saquon Barkley, who is obviously a free agent this offseason, if the Giants move on from Barkley, what are their options for a running back one? And Chris, there's two things to look at, of course, free agency and the draft. In free agency, there really isn't another running back one. Josh Jacobs is out there, but if you're not going to pay Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs is another guy who's going to require a huge contract, a big commitment. If you're not going to pay Barkley, you're not going to pay Jacobs, who had another good year in 2022 with the Las Vegas Raiders. Kareem Hunt is also out there, but Hunt is not really a running back one. Hunt is a committee type back, a guy that has shared a lot of the responsibility with Nick Chubb in Cleveland. There are some other backs out there in free agency who would be upgrades from Matt Breida, who is the backup on the Giants roster currently. I would think that if the Giants move on from Saquon, what they would do is try to sign some sort of mid-tier running back who wouldn't cost them a whole lot to share the load, perhaps with a rookie. The best running back in the draft, a guy who might be a number one or is looked at as a first-round type pick, is Bijan Robinson of Alabama. I don't know that the Giants would look at using their first overall pick, 25th overall, on a running back after moving on from Barkley. I'm not sure that makes sense to me. There are several other backs that could be had on day two, even early in day three, who could develop into solid rotational pieces. I think that if the Giants move on from Barkley, they're not going to be looking for a big-time stud running back initially. They'll be going mid-level in free agency. They'll be going into the draft trying to find somebody who can be part of a committee, and I think they would approach running back that way, at least in the short term. Our next question comes from Robert Forgione, and he wants to know, if the Giants lose defensive coordinator Wink Martindale to the Indianapolis Colts, would they go outside the organization to find a replacement? Is there a replacement on the current staff? Robert also wonders if the Giants would have to change their scheme, change their personnel, or whether the new defensive coordinator would have to adapt to the personnel that he has. Robert, in reality, if the Giants lose Wink Martindale, I've written this at Big Blue View in reference to both Wink Martindale on the defensive side and Mike Kafka on the offensive side. Kafka, of course, still a candidate, one of two finalists apparently for the job as head coach in Arizona. The Giants, I think, would much prefer to stay internal, to promote from within. They've only had 1 year in the schemes that they are currently running, and I think that for the sake of continuity, for the sake of making things easier on their players, for the sake of trying to build from where they are already and go forward. I think they would much rather stay internal. With regards to the defense, I think the Giants have two choices internally. First choice would be linebackers coach Drew Wilkins, who is really a Martindale protege, has been with Martindale for about 10 years, you know, most of that time with the Baltimore Ravens, and then last year as linebackers coach with the Giants. The problem with that scenario is I think if Martindale gets the job in Indianapolis, I think Wilkins goes with him, maybe as defensive coordinator, maybe as a linebackers coach, but I think Wilkins goes with him and ends up with the defensive coordinator title probably in Indianapolis. The other possibility for me on the Giants coaching staff is defensive backs coach Jerome Henderson. Henderson's been a coach in the NFL for roughly 20 years now, a former NFL player, has never had an opportunity to be defensive coordinator, but everyone who plays for him sings his praises. Everybody loves him. Wink Martindale, multiple times throughout the year, called Henderson the best defensive backs coach in the NFL. Henderson is a guy who deserves an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator. Now, obviously, when you get a new defensive coordinator, even if it's an internal candidate, you cannot expect that person to be a Martindale clone. That person will run the defense the way that he believes it should be run. He'll scheme it the way he believes it should be schemed. He will call defenses to his own personality, to the way he believes defense should be played. Obviously, Jerome Henderson, of course, has seen a variety of NFL defensive coordinators. He saw what the Giants did with Wink Martindale. I'm sure that he's not going to overhaul the Giants scheme. If it were Henderson, he would put his own stamp on it. He's a defensive backs coach by nature, defensive back in the NFL. So he may play coverage a little bit more. Don't know. We may find out. But I don't think you can hire a coach and say, you have to run the system exactly the way the guy before you did. That coach is going to do what he thinks is right. Sort of the way that, Patrick Graham was a pretty good defensive coordinator for the Giants for a couple of years, but a much different personality, a much different style than Wink Martindale. And that's just what happens. The coach is going to do things according to his own personality and his own style.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Our next question comes from Jason Sorley, who wants to know whether there is a world in which the Giants would use their first two draft picks, currently numbers 25 and 57, both on wide receivers. Jason, I suppose there is a world where that could happen or would happen, depending on how the board broke, if the Giants felt like wide receivers were the best players for that were on the board at both of those spots and were guys who fit what they wanted to do and could step right in and contribute. But I really don't see that happening. There are so many different needs that the Giants have, needs at linebacker, needs at on the offensive line, the defensive line, cornerback, tight end, perhaps at running back, especially if they move on from Saquon. There are so many other areas that the Giants have to address that putting all of your eggs in the wide receiver basket just doesn't make any sense. I mean, we can also make the argument that look, Joe Shane talked about the talent gap between the Giants and the Eagles and some of the other top teams in the league. That talent gap doesn't just exist at wide receiver. The NFL is still a place where you have to build from the inside out. You have to be solid on both lines. The Eagles showed the Giants in 2022 what depth on the defensive line can do, what a really solid offensive line can do. The Giants still have a lot of work to do in those areas. They need linebackers to help fill out the front seven of their defense. So I just don't see a scenario. I just don't see that happening, that the Giants would use their first two picks on wide receivers. Our final question today comes from Frank Price, and Frank wants to know if the Washington Commanders called the Giants and said, "We will trade you Chase Young straight up for Andrew Thomas," whether or not I would take that deal if I was the Giants general manager. And Frank, the answer to that is absolutely not. No way, no how, not happening. I'm not trading Andrew Thomas, a guy who has become an all-pro caliber stud left tackle. I'm not trading him for Chase Young. And yes, I understand the genesis of this question. You go back to the draft a couple of years ago, and Giants fans were upset that the Giants missed out on the opportunity to draft Chase Young. They missed out on that opportunity by winning a game at the end of the year and allowing Washington to get the number two overall pick, while the Giants ended up with the fourth overall pick. So the Giants missed out on the opportunity to draft Chase Young, ended up with the fourth overall pick, and their choice of the whoever they felt was the best offensive tackle in the draft that year. I would make the argument that this worked out in the Giants' favor, absolutely. And it brings up a point for me that I always make. People obsess about, well, we've got to have the number two pick instead of the number four pick, or the number three pick instead of the number five pick. You don't know how a player's NFL career is going to pan out. Chase Young won Rookie of the Year in the NFL in 2020, the year when he had 7.5 sacks in 15 games, 12 quarterback hits. But Chase Young has played 12 games over the past two seasons, had 1.5 sacks in 2021, played only three games at the end of 2022, did not have a sack. So if you look at what has gone on in the careers of those two young men at this point in time, Andrew Thomas has been a far more successful pro at this point over the past couple of years. His career arc is going up. We don't know what's going to happen with Chase Young. He could still turn out to be a fantastic player. But at this point in time, there's no way that I would trade Andrew Thomas for Chase Young. I don't think anyone would do that. And if they would, I would seriously question how much football they actually know and understand. You're trading a stud left tackle for a guy who had a bad knee injury, who's played 12 games and had virtually no production over the past two seasons. There's not a chance that I would do that. And again, it's just a chance for me to remind people, don't obsess about draft position. What you obsess about, you know, George Young, former Giants general manager during the 80s and 90s, when the Giants won their first two Super Bowls, George Young didn't move around the draft board. George Young just believed in taking the draft as it came to him and trusting his scouts, trusting his evaluation, and making the absolute best pick he could when it was his turn, getting it right when it was his turn to make a pick. That worked out pretty well for the Giants. This is a little different era with a lot more movement in the draft, but the reality of it is, you can get a great player at 2. You can get a great player at 4. You can get a great player at 15. You can get a great player at 30. You can get a great player in the 4th round if you do your homework and maybe get a little bit lucky sometimes. But if you scout well, know exactly what you need, exactly what you want, know exactly what a player is, sometimes you can get a great player later in the draft. So obsessing about which pick you have is really, you know, most of the time it's just wasted energy, it's wasted time. So I constantly encourage people not to do that, but I know that I'm sort of spitting in the wind on that one. People will continue to do it anyway. All right, Giants fans, let's turn our attention now to an interview that I did with Jalen Thomas, offensive lineman from SMU, and a young man who hopes to get an opportunity to make an NFL roster this fall. As I mentioned to you guys in a podcast the other day, one of the things I'm going to try to do here as we lead up to the 2023 NFL draft is talk to some of the young men who are hoping to hear their names called here in a few weeks. And I have joining me right now one of those young men, SMU offensive lineman Jalen Thomas. Jalen, thank you very, very much for a few minutes.
Appreciate you for having me on here. Thank you.
So, you know, we're talking a little bit off air. You said you're done for the day, done working out for the day. Where are you? And you know, what are you working on these days?
I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, at X3 facility. Right now I'm just doing physical therapy and a little bit of training. It's the most training I can do, especially after coming off of surgery 2 months ago. So, you know, just trying to recover, get as back as fast as I can. But, you know, it's been going great. So,
right. So you're coming off shoulder surgery. And mm-hmm. that was when?
I had labrum surgery on December 7th of 2020. So.
December 7th. Left shoulder, right shoulder?
Left shoulder.
Left shoulder. And how does that sort of complicate your ability at this point to get yourself in front of NFL scouts, NFL teams, let them know what you're about, you know, show them what you can do? That obviously meant that you couldn't participate in any of the All-Star games that recently wrapped up.
Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest things. You know, I wanted to get out there and showcase my skill set to these scouts, going against, you know, Power 5 schools, you know, players from, you know, the bigger schools, and didn't have that opportunity to do it this year. You know, wasn't in my cards to do it. You know, had labrum surgery, but you know, that's probably one of the biggest things I couldn't do this year was showcasing one of the Senior Bowl games. Then also, you know, certain things in terms of weightlifting and all that, you know, I haven't been able to do for 2 months, so that can kind of hinder things when it comes to pro day.
Yeah, obviously unfortunate time for an injury like that, but are you going to be healthy enough to do some things at your pro day?
Oh, definitely. The physical therapist here at X3 has been amazing. He's been really pushing me to really get the shoulder back strong and, you know, strengthen it as much as he can before I have to go back to SMU for the pro day. So, I mean, it's been great. I've been training, really doing a lot of training here. It's not really hindered me a lot in any of the combine drills, so it's been great.
Do you? I don't think combine invites are out yet, unless I'm wrong about that. But are you expecting to be invited to the combine?
No, it's just the you know, the 40, the 5-10-5, so L drill, all that stuff. I've been able to do that stuff because the shoulder doesn't really hinder you from running.
Right. You'll have to do that. You'll be doing all that stuff at your pro day.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious, you know, before you got hurt, what were you hearing from teams? Were you able to, you know, were some Were you able to talk to some teams, or did you know some teams were looking at you a little bit?
Really talked to the SMU, our player personnel guy. He was filling me in. What scouts were saying, they loved my versatility. They would love for me to showcase the versatility, at any of the senior games, but didn't have that opportunity this year. So they were just excited to see my versatility this year, especially playing all five offensive lineman spots this year. They were glad to see that. They saw the improvement in terms of from last year, in terms of my finishing ability, being more physical. So they're great. They saw that this year.
Speaking about that versatility, did I see that you started games at all five positions on the offensive line?
Yes, sir, I did.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Is that how do you even prepare through to do something like that?
It was challenging at first, especially like when you're going from left tackle to right tackle, and then having to go play center the next week. That was a challenge, because I mean, center in itself is it's probably one of the hardest positions I've had to play, especially at the college level, and start a whole game at that position for an entire game. That was pretty hard. In terms of preparing for it, I mean, it was just more, I had a great coach behind me. The offensive lineman guys were, keep pushing me forward to be at the best I can be the entire week. So, it's great to have people in your corner for helping you to be the best you can be.
When you were doing that, were you playing, you would go in one week and play center and the next week and play right tackle or the next week and play left guard or whatever. Is that how that went for you?
Yep. Like I literally went from left tackle to right tackle to left guard, right guard, center. And then middle game, I go from left guard to right guard because of the injuries. It was crazy this year.
That's the Giants have a player out of North Carolina, Josh Azudu, that they drafted in the third round. And one of the things that attracted them to Azudu was that kind of flexibility. I think he played every position except center, and North Carolina would move him from series to series, from one side to the other side. Just explain to people, I mean, it's you're doing things right-handed and then you're doing things left-handed, and your assignments are different from position to position. I mean, can you just explain to people the sort of nuance of how difficult that is to bounce from side to side and position to position?
No, definitely. I mean, there's a turn. The technical side is crazy. I mean, from one player, if you go from left tackle to right tackle in the game, like you're pushing off your right foot. And you might be dominant on that side, and then you have to turn around and your left leg, your dominant side to push off. Which your main hand you're punching with. A lot goes into it. Especially when a guy wants to come inside on you, having to redirect, and not being if you're not familiar with that, it's kind of hard to want to redirect. And that's not really ingrained in you because you haven't really practiced it as much. So the technical side is it's pretty difficult.
And had you done some of that just going from side to side? I think you had played both tackle spots prior to this year, correct?
Yeah.
And what was the – I'm just curious what the genesis of that was, or what was the idea behind, you moving from spot to spot? Was that something you wanted to do? Was it something that the team just needed you to do?
It's more the team needed me to do it. My freshman year, I was playing right tackle. And after that, they kind of saw my skill set and said, we're going to move you to left tackle. So the coaches saw that ability in me. And from that point forward, I was playing left tackle. And then last year and this year, they wanted me to move inside. Scouts were saying, okay, we want to see some film of him inside. So they moved me in the guard early last season. And then, but I ended up getting pushed back out to left tackle due to injuries and stuff like that. So, this really has been injuries necessity for the team. I'll do anything for the team. And if it has me going out playing different positions each week, I'll do it.
Does that make you, we talked about you not really having a chance to showcase yourself at some of the All-Star games, but does that positional flexibility and experience doing that? Because a lot of guys, a lot teams have to project, well, can he play inside? Can he play the right side? Can he play the left side? You know, they might have seen a guy play one position his entire career and their need might be on the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, does that make you, you know, more valuable? Does it give you a better shot to make it in the league, you think?
I don't know if it gives me a better shot. You know, that's up to the scouts to decide. You know, and the owners of the team to decide if that makes me more valuable, you know. But I do believe that, you know, it's a great attribute to have to be able to play both sides, especially in the offensive line. Because, you know, I mean, teams need offensive linemen like crazy because each year there's always injuries.
Absolutely. And it seems like in the NFL there, you know, teams never have enough guys that can move around. And I think only 7 or 8 guys dress on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So to be able to play any position on the line is incredibly valuable. So do you have any thoughts on, you know, have you heard anything on, you know, where you think you might be drafted or whether you're drafted, or does it matter to you as long as you, you know, get an opportunity to get into a camp and show what you can do?
I mean, I think everybody who, you know, grows up playing football and gets to the college level wants to hear their name called on draft night. And, you know, I'd love to have my name called on draft night, but definitely if that's not in the cards, it's not in the cards. But I definitely believe I'm a PFA guy or a late round guy. Somebody might take a chance on me, I'm happy. You know, I just want to go out there and showcase my abilities. I mean, I know I can play at the next level. So,
hey, you know, one of the things I was looking at your background, and one of the things that I thought was kind of cool, kind of nice in this whole, you know, transfer portal era, you spent 5 years at SMU. You know, I'm just curious, why you did that, you know, and if you feel like staying in one place, you know, really helped you and really just helped you enjoy the whole college experience.
I think for me, it was more like my mom always told me back in the day, if you're going to start something, finish it. You know, a lot of people, you know, transfer portal, I mean, if you need to get into the transfer portal, that's on you. But I think for me, it was, I went to SMU for a reason. I'm not going to leave SMU because, you know, a couple things get hard and, you know, because somebody's always told me the grass is always greener on the other side. So I just stuck it out. You know, SMU was great to me. Met some great guys, especially like last year, you know, having, you know, Hayden Howerton, who was there. He was a great leader for me, you know, the guys before me. So, you know, just being able to step into a leadership role this year, it's been great. It's been great. SMU's been great.
And I'm just curious, you know, if you're sitting in front of an NFL general manager, NFL head coach, and we, you know, we know about your versatility. Just give me the self-scouting report on what you're going to bring to my team if you're pitching, you know, if you're pitching to me, you know, why I should take a chance on you.
I mean, I'm a football guy. Love football. I'm very competitive. I do have a mean streak. That was something that teams were looking at. Kane does because he finished people. You can look at the film. I do finish people. I have a mean streak. I'm versatile. If you need me to play center, I can play center. If you need me to play both guards, I can play guards. Shoot, I haven't played. I don't know about playing tackle at the next level, but I can dang try it if you want me to. Mm-hmm. So somebody who's not afraid to try something new. I'm a guy who just loves to compete at the end of the day.
Cool. Hey, Jalen, I appreciate a few minutes. Good luck to you come this April. Hopefully the shoulder gets healthy. You're able to show folks what you can do this spring, and hopefully you hear your name called here in a few weeks.
For sure. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for hopping on.
Thank you.
Giants fans, that's our show for today. Thank you, as always, for listening. Please remember to stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.